Welcome to Alliance for the Brave, a program that advocates for our veterans and first responders. Presented by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Certified Senior Advisor Jim Blythe, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Alliance for the Brave, serving and empowering those who have served in the line of duty with a focus on bringing the core leadership values of honor, duty, and service to our communities. America, let's take action to take care of our brave men and women who have put their lives on the line to serve us nationally and locally. It's time to tune in, join in, and plug in. Welcome to Alliance for the Brave. And now, here's your host, Jim Blythe.
In the air, everywhere, around the world, you're listening to Alliance for the Brave, where we bring education, information, and communication to today's veterans, active duty military, and first responders. Broadcast from KBDT 1160 AM in Dallas and heard around the great nation on the USA Radio Network, as well as around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network. I'm Jim Blythe, and my partner today, Ron Abrams.
Good morning.
He is the Director of Employment for the Texas Veterans Commission for this district. Ron, good morning, brother.
Good morning, sir. Morning.
We have too much fun doing this every Saturday morning, don't we?
You know, a lot of people get my title a little mixed up. There's been some changes. We've been redesignated as a district now, so we are no longer a region. Which means I am no longer the regional outreach coordinator for the Texas Veterans Commission here in North Texas. Now I'm the district outreach coordinator. So I'm no longer a rock. I'm now a doc.
Okay. Yeah. But the main thing is you are the expert on employment. You are the expert on helping veterans get placed and get a job in North Texas. And that's your job with the Texas Veterans Commission. And that is critically important, especially going to be talking about what we did yesterday and how it's going to relate. So I want to introduce a longtime friend, a sister to Diane and I, Miss Charlene Johns. Charlene, good morning, and how are you, my dear?
Good morning. Well, I'm in recovery.
That was quite a deal you did yesterday.
It was, but I hope I'm excited to hear your experience of it.
Well, that's what we want to do. Ron and I want to talk about our experience as it relates to homeless veterans and as it relates to the people who need employment that are in the underserved, underemployed, and in that homeless situation. So what you put together was a deal with the Unite Greater Dallas. Isn't this a national movement that is working, Charlene?
Yes, absolutely. Unite Greater Dallas is part of the uniting cities across the United States. They work to bring faith-based leadership and churches and nonprofit organizations in to a city's space. They also work with city governments to identify pockets of need within the city, and then they pair those organizations, faith-based community centers, with those needs to address the problems that the city can't address.
Now, if somebody wanted to know about this from another city or another location, that would be where could they go to get that information?
I would say to go to the UniteTheChurch.org website, and there's information on the national level on the Unite the Church website.
All right, Charlene, one of the things is this was such a unique experience, and let me see if I can describe it, and Ron can describe it, his experience, because then you can tell us what it was supposed to be. My experience was we basically had an hour broken down into 15-minute segments, and we broke down into groups of three. Typically, it was like a family, and we played role-playing, going to all of these various stations around the room to simulate what a day in the life or the week in the life of somebody who is homeless or in lower poverty, in all of the frustrations that they face, all of the things that are faced with, what it takes to just survive. So this is a national problem. This is a problem that most people like myself don't ever get to experience and don't understand. Ron, what was your feeling?
Well, I was able to play one of the roles. Mine was a young girl, actually, 12 years old, and who had a brother, Billy, and a mom who was recently divorced. Her former husband was in military, post-traumatic stress disorder, and we were basically trying to juggle school, paying bills, rent, facing eviction. I mean, the scenario was true to the word, as they say, when it comes to a scenario like that in real life for homeless. So I was impressed by your whole setup there. Very impressed.
My job, I played the daddy in a family, and so we had a daughter that was 8 years old that had a unique disease, and she was going blind. And my wife, now I had to step up because the young lady that played my wife, Dominique, is actually an aide to Congresswoman Eddie Bernice Johnson, and she works in that world. She's been a mental health and mental retardation and social worker. So she knew more about how to navigate the system than I did. Now, Charlene, tell us about what you had designed for us and how this worked.
Well, the cost of poverty experience was put on by a think tank. They are nationwide. They run these cost of poverty experiences across the nation. They are actual facts that were given by impoverished families. So the fact that your daughter had eye issues, the single parent family scenarios, those all are true families. Now, this was the first time they've ever done a veteran-centric scenario. So what I did was I worked with the Texas Veteran Commission, Colonel Craig Combs. We designed the overlay of the military biography. So where yours said he was an Army sergeant or a, you know, Marine, or, you know, which whatever the military overlay was, Colonel Combs and I wrote that, but where it would exactly, you know, it would fit, it would be a working, believable scenario, as you just said, true to the word. I kept saying, well, we haven't had any Air Force person come in, or we haven't, and he'd say, well, we'll put that on the next family. And when I read the next family, he said, oh, no one will believe that would happen to an Air Force person. So we really worked very hard to make it and ran it by several military veterans that could comment, oh, this is believable, or this is not believable, this is, you know, this is what would happen. My sons also went through it, and they said, my oldest son said, you know, we should have had it do 8 weeks, because then we could have figured it out. Well, we should have had longer in the first week, because, you know, they just sat you down and you couldn't figure out who you were. And I really tried to explain to him that the methodology is to create chaos in your system. I mean, it is to create a dysregulation where you don't know what's going on. You can't figure it out. You're trying, you're like, okay, now week two is a little bit better because you know you've got to get to work. You know you've got to get a transportation issue. You know, my son
was, you got to go to the grocery store.
Appointments.
You got to go to the grocery store. My son was very frustrated. He said, we had to get walking passes, and that took so long, and we had to go wait in line. And I said, but that's what really is going on in that community. And my heart and goal for having a military-focused one is to have both sides of the fence, whether you're a veteran going through trying to get VA appointments or trying to get assistance in the community, as well as people, providers in the community, to have their eyes open to see that the guy that shows up with a bad attitude, you have no idea what he just went through.
Yes.
To get there. You have no idea if his car just broke down, if he missed his daughter's medical appointment, if he just found out his best friend took his own life. And so for that conversation of compassion to open up, it was really the end goal.
It's funny you mentioned that, Charlene, because in my scenario, my mom in the scenario, her windshield was broken overnight by the former spouse, based upon some type of argument that they had or whatnot. But her windshield was broken, and that just caused even more havoc in their weekly schedule.
And they had scenarios, interruptions, a police officer going around busting people.
Yeah.
There was all kinds of things that I normally would never experience.
Yes.
Okay, Ron, now let's talk about what was your takeaway? What was your feeling from this experience that you got to experience something that I think the homeless people, the people in abject poverty, the people that are underemployed?
Yes, I came at it from a children's or a child's perspective, because my role was a 12-year-old child in the scenario. So even the children are going through a myriad of problems, especially when they go to school. They have to carry that load when they get to school. They have to deal with personalities. They have to deal with their grades, everything. So it not only affects the parents, but it affects the children as well, the homelessness. And that's what I took away from it. So my mind is opened and broadened to the fact that we now have to look at how we can help the children as well, the children of veterans.
Absolutely, without a doubt. Now, my role as the father in this family is to try and be the leader. But the problem was I didn't know what to do. And I think this is not a unique situation for a lot of our young men and women who go into the military when they're out of high school. And they spend several years in the military. They come out and they're used to the very, very structured environment of the military. And they don't know where to start. And that was one of the frustrations that I felt. I didn't know where to start. I didn't know, okay, how do you get money? How do you go get gas money? How do you go to the bank? How do you cash your check? How do you get into these loops? And all of a sudden it dawned on me, as I was getting a feeling this frustration as a father, you're like, oh my God, you know, I can't get it done. I can't get it done. And as that began to unravel, I began to see some things that I felt like maybe we needed to do something different. Maybe we needed to change. And I had that tremendous feeling of frustration as the dad of being able to get things done. And Charlene,
right.
Yeah.
And in a former life, you got everything done.
For you, yes.
Well, not always for you.
You had a sense of order. Someone told you, you go do this. You did your job. You did your mission. Accomplished. You had that sense of unity and accomplishment, no matter how big or how small. And then, again, to be thrown out into a system that you don't know how to navigate, it's dysregulating and it's causing an extraordinary number of problems.
When you compound that with one of the things that we see frequently is soldiers and sailors with PTS. With other things, or maybe it was a medical discharge that was caused by an injury. So all of a sudden, they're handicapped on top of that. And when you put those things into the mix, you're talking about a potential disaster. And what I want to do now, we're going to be going to a break from all of our partners. But when we come back, we want to focus on what can we do for a hand up. What can we do to help veterans get employment? What can we do to help our servicemen and women transition so that they don't end up with the kind of experience that we had? And ours was set up by COPE. Ours was set up for an hour, a whole lot different. So this is Jim Blythe and Ron Abrams, and we have Charlene Johns talking about homelessness and how we can help those who need help the most. I'm Jim Blythe, and we'll be right back after these words.
1160 AM KBDT proudly presents this historic salute to Grapevine, Texas. Brought to you by the Spice and Tea Exchange at 319 South Main Street. In mid-November of 1845, settlers from Missouri, the Archibald Leonard family, B.J. and Hiram Crowley, Ambrose Foster, and the family of Judge Jacob Moorhead settled near Lonesome Dove. 2 years later, the Lonesome Dove Baptist Church was established south of Judge Moorhead's place near Grapevine.
I'm Nancy McBrayer for the Spice and Tea Exchange. We started in Fort Worth and just really loved the Grapevine area. We wanted to capture the folks that were from Dallas that came to the stockyards that said, oh, this is so far for us. And Grapevine is such a beautiful area. We decided that that was a perfect place for our second location.
Grapevine, Texas, a world festival and event city. Find out more about Grapevine by going to www.grapevinetexas.gov.
I'm Nancy McBrayer for the Spice and Tea Exchange.
Step back in time. Visit historic Grapevine, Texas today.
Hi, I'm Jim Blythe, certified senior advisor. I've been working with seniors for 10 years in Texas and Oklahoma, helping them with financial issues, home finance, helping them to restructure their life. Save their home, save the farm, that's what I do. I teach them, I help them, and I work with them. You can look me up on jimblythe.net or you can call me at 214-502-4600. That's 214-502-4600.
The American Red Cross, the Dallas Baptist Men, Community Emergency Response Teams, the Salvation Army. To that list, add the RLA Scouts. Founded in the ashes of 9/11, the RLA Scouts provide agile, well-trained, certified, and vetted first response personnel available to police and fire rescue at a moment's notice. And we need you. Whether you help fund the mission or join the mission, consider the RLA Scouts. Visit their website now and make a tax-deductible donation. RLAscouts.org. The RLA Scouts, the next rescue resource for Texas.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
You have to sell your gorgeous but suddenly unaffordable house. Now, who will buy it? These guys buy. You have to sell your mom and dad's old rundown house. Now, who will buy it? These guys buy. You have to sell your crazy Aunt Zelda's house. You know, the one with all the cats. These guys buy. Taj Mahal? These guys buy. Old musty dump? These guys buy. Just plain ugly? These guys buy. Sell your property now. As is, no fees, no repairs, no waiting. TheseguysBuy.com. TheseguysBuy.com. TheseguysBuy.com.
You're listening to Alliance for the Brave, honoring, serving, and empowering those who have served in the line of duty. Today's program is presented by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Learn more about our mission and how you can plug in with us at AllianceForTheBrave.com. And now, back to the conversation on Alliance for the Brave.
Welcome back. This is Jim Blythe with Ron Abrams, and we've got Charlene Johns. She is the clown minister of the veterans. I say that lovingly because the first time I met you 20 years ago, you had on a red clown nose and makeup, and you were the head, or you are the head, of Sunshine After the Rain Ministries, as well as you are the founder of the Battle Buddy Info. So you organized this deal yesterday. Now, Ron, let's start talking about some of the solutions, because we had the experience.
Right.
That was an unbelievable experience. So let's talk about some of the solutions. One of the things is with the Texas Veterans Commission, what we're doing to help veterans make that transition.
Right.
All right. You've got some websites. You've got some information. Let's pass that out. So, because what you were saying in the break on Facebook, and by the way, you can Facebook and watch us on Alliance for the Brave if you'd like to. We'd love to have you on board. We'd love to have you comment. But, Ron, you've been talking about now some solutions, so let's go down that path.
Well, the biggest solution is collaboration. That is the biggest solution. And right now we need to blanket everywhere and reach the homeless and reach, more importantly, the veterans that we're affecting as well. But many of the best way to do that is to take a look at the organizations that are available. And I tell you, COPE is, I was blown away by what they were able to present to us yesterday. But COPE is one, also Recovery Resource Council, Texas Veterans Commission itself. If, in fact, you are looking for organizations when it comes to your rent, whether it's even taking care of a car, bills to take care of electricity, gas, water, electricity, all that, there are organizations that are available. So just reach out to us, the Texas Veterans Commission, at tvc.texas.gov, and we can get you in touch with any organization within your geographical location that can help you help the veteran and help the homeless in your area as well.
I think this is really important, because what I came away with from this experience, Charlene, is this tremendous sense of frustration and being lost. And you were trying to create that, or you did create it pretty effectively.
And that is the point. Whereas, you know, my son, with all of his analytical facilities and my other son had played a child, so he was a little bit, he got all of his errands taken care of because he just went to school and he felt pretty accomplished. But it is designed to send a person that has all their facilities and that's used to paying all their bills and being responsible. It's designed to put you into a state of chaos. You are not supposed to be able to figure it out. And that is the point, that people that are experiencing levels of impoverishment and homelessness and things, one thing like your windshield getting broken into, and then, you know, the windshield busting, and then you have to pay to get that fixed, one event that may seem insignificant to someone else can throw an economic spiral into play. And so many people, when the in between the week scenarios, the facilitator kept asking, how many of you bought food for your family? How many of you bought food for your family? Because people are thinking, well, I got to get transportation. I got to get to work. I got to get here. I've got to get to my probation. I've got to get here. And you forget to go buy food for your family. The other component of that is, in many impoverished neighborhoods and areas, there's what is known as a food desert. And that term isn't familiar if you live north of 635 in Dallas. And I asked my daughter-in-law, I said, well, there's a food desert. And she said, I don't even know what that means. I said, there is no grocery store that is selling fresh produce and fresh items. It's a local, you know, convenience store on the corner that sells, you know, bread and maybe some lunch meat and, you know, milk and beer. So those areas are across the city.
Yeah, and in those impoverished areas where you're talking about a food desert, many of those convenience stores are also hangouts for undesirables, for drug dealers and all kinds of things. So that becomes another aspect of this. And
right.
One of the things with the experience that I went through, and as I thought about it and Diane and I left, was that we were trying to go through this process and get lined up for benefits, food stamps, and various things. We missed a whole day's work. I mean, the week's work. So all of a sudden, and trying to get things. And the point that was being made is, when you try and get some of these benefits, you wait in line all day long. And they keep turning you back saying, no, you didn't fill out this right. You know, you didn't fill out that right. So the tremendous frustration that we felt is what the homeless feel day in and day out. When we come back, we're going to talk about more solutions to this. And we're also going to point to the fact that this kind of helpless, this kind of homelessness is a big problem, which is leading to the 22 suicides in veterans a day. So this is Jim Blythe and Ron Abrams with Charlene Johns, the clown minister. We're going to be right back talking about homelessness and employment. A hand up, not a hand out. We'll be right back.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. This could be a tense day at the G7 summit in Quebec, with six countries lined up against U.S. tariffs on imported goods. President Trump tried to use some of that anger with some humor after a meeting with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
Justin has agreed to cut all tariffs and all trade barriers between Canada and the United States. So I'm very happy about that.
So I'd say NAFTA's in good shape.
But we are actually working on it.
Trudeau says he and President Trump do have some common goals.
Our engagement towards the world, how we're working together to create good jobs for folks on both sides of the border around. We both got elected on a commitment to grow the middle class and help those working hard to join it, and that's exactly the kinds of things that we're going to stay focused on.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
When I say Italy, what comes to mind?
Venice. Capri. Oh my gosh, Capri was marvelous.
The views, the cliffside views, or traveling to Sorrento.
Pirello Tours.
Oh, Pirello Tours, for sure.
Pirello.
Hi, I'm Steve Pirello of Pirello Tours. With over 70 years of tour experience to Italy, it's no wonder Pirello Tours is synonymous with travel to Italy.
I think of the culture.
And to walk up to certain areas and touch a wall and think, well, this wall's like 3,000 years old.
Being on a Pirello Tour on our anniversary was better than anything I can remember ever on an anniversary.
I personally approve every itinerary to ensure a stress-free, once-in-a-lifetime vacation.
Salute!
Call now for your free insider's guide to Pirillo's Italy. Call in the next 30 minutes and qualify for a $100 gift card when you travel with us. Call 800-547-6018. 800-547-6018. 800-547-6018.
The American Red Cross, the Dallas Baptist Men, Community Emergency Response Teams, the Salvation Army. To that list, add the RLA Scouts. Founded in the ashes of 9/11, the RLA Scouts provide agile, well-trained, certified, and vetted first response personnel available to police and fire rescue at a moment's notice. And we need you. Whether you help fund the mission or join the mission, consider the RLA Scouts. Visit their website now and make a tax-deductible donation. RLAscouts.org. The RLA Scouts, the next rescue resource for Texas.
The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series.
Larson around the outside. Hamlin picks up a big push.
NASCAR's best, motor into Michigan.
Chase Elliott underneath him for second. Joey Logano underneath him for third.
Driven to seize supremacy.
Kyle Larson, he's got that Chevrolet out front.
The Firekeepers Casino 400.
Chase looking for his first career win, will not give up.
Sunday at noon on the Motor Racing Network.
Don't miss the Firekeepers 400. Tomorrow at noon only on 1160 AM KBDT.
You're listening to Alliance for the Brave, honoring, serving, and empowering those who have served in the line of duty. Today's program is presented by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Learn more about our mission and how you can plug in with us at AllianceForTheBrave.com. And now, back to the conversation on Alliance for the Brave.
Welcome back. This is Jim Blank with Ron Abrams, and we have Charlene Johns, the head of the Sunshine After Rain Ministries. And also, when we're talking about information to help veterans get on their feet, Battle Buddy Info. Right, Charlene?
That's right. And if we don't know where to send you, we can connect you with people that certainly will know where to send you. And part of that frustration that you experienced, you and Ron both experienced yesterday, is not knowing exactly where to go, when to go, stand in line, someone's going to send you somewhere else. Texas Veteran Commission also supports the Military Veteran Peer Network, and those are individuals. Many of them are former military. They're veterans that can help you walk through the process of getting a job, of getting help for your family, of getting help for yourself, and having a battle buddy to go help you make these kinds of transitions, or where there's gaps, where you're trying to figure things out, they can be with you, because better are two people going through it than feeling alone and trapped and isolated. So I highly cannot say enough about what Texas Veterans Commission commits to do for our nation's veterans, the veterans that are here in Texas, as well as the support they give to the Military Veterans Peer Network individuals and counselors that are helping navigate transition. Those gaps in transitional even awareness and situational awareness, once you get out into the civilian world, you know, if you don't know where you need to go, you don't know who to ask. Before there was a hierarchy in place, a command center, an officer above you that you could go ask to find out what to do next. Out in the civilian world, there isn't that chain of command. There's no one above you to go help you figure out how to get those goods and services that are needed. And again, our military are falling through the cracks, as are many people in impoverished situations.
One of the things is, in the military, it's so structured, you know who that person is, because they're going to be right there in front of you, especially at morning call. But in the civilian world, you got to know where to go to be able to get to those people. And what I've been told by a number of people is the military has excellent programs to help soldiers and sailors transition, but for the most part, they don't pay attention. They really come out. Now, when I came out, especially after three tours of Vietnam on aircraft carriers, it was like, here, Jim, sign this paper, and there's the gate, there's the door, right, goodbye. You know, adios, farewell, and don't call us unless you want to come back. I was very fortunate in that I had a father and a grandfather who were Navy. And my father and I had talked, and he set me up for success to go back to college. I had pre-registered for junior college here in Dallas to get on my feet and to get going, and I'd pre-registered down at the University of Texas. So after I did a semester here, I knew where to go because I had some help. I was very fortunate with that. But a lot of times, these young men and women, they don't have that kind of help. They may even come out of a family that doesn't know about these and doesn't know how to get that help. Now, one of the important things, Ron, that you do with Texas Veterans Commission is you coach people, right?
Exactly.
You coach them. You help them to, how do you do the interview? How do you do resume? Where do you go? You guys are involved.
Business, dress, everything.
Yeah, dress, everything. You actually help them get the right clothes to wear for the job, right?
Yes. As a matter of fact, at one of our Workforce Solutions offices, International Suit Warehouse and Men's Warehouse, they have a tailor right there on the grounds or in the facility. All you have to do is let them know that you are a veteran when you first walk in the door, and a veteran's representative will assist you. However, if you're looking for a suit for an interview, they will actually measure you and allow you to pick the suit that you want, and they will tailor that suit to your specifications so that you can get ready for your interview all free of charge. As long as you state that you are a veteran and you have your DD-214, we are able to assist you, to include Men's Warehouse helping you out with that suit as well.
So you can actually, through the Texas Veterans Commission here in Texas, and there are other places. I think you're going to find DAV across the nation.
Yes.
And other organizations can do the same thing. They can also help you with veterans benefits. If you are militarily disabled and you need some help, they can help you with that as well. But I think one of the most important things is how you coach people for that job interview.
Right.
I think that is so incredible. Tell us a couple of stories or a story about what you've experienced in helping young men and women go through that process.
Well, I'll tell you, the best story I can tell you is my own. You would think that things went very, very, very smoothly once I transitioned from the military, but it was probably one of the most challenging times that I've ever had, aside from being in the military. But once I transitioned, I thought the doors would just slam open for me. Hey, you're a veteran. You're exactly what we need. But it's quite the contrary. Employers have this notion or this perception about veterans nowadays that is totally wrong. They see veterans as a potential post-traumatic stress disorder, problem on the job. They think that we're just going to blow up and get mad and things of that nature, but it's quite the contrary. Right now, I am working for a great organization that was actually the organization that helped me during my transition, the Texas Veterans Commission. I was unemployed, but at the time, I realized that my education was more important, and that was going to allow me to get into the employment or the money bracket that I needed to be in. Once I transitioned, I was unemployed for 6 months. So I went into the unemployment office up in Ohio, which is where I went after transitioning, and there was absolutely no help. He just said, there's the computer. There's where you search for your job. So that was all it took for me to realize I don't need to be in this state anymore.
So I decided to
come back to Texas. I remember how that there were so many military bases around, which was one of my choices for choosing Texas. But once I got here, I realized that the state of Texas does more for veterans than practically every other state in the union. When it comes to helping veterans with their transition, service-connected disability, overcoming any employment barriers, getting you in contact with organizations that can help you with your rent, your mortgage, car payments, anything that you can think of, the state of Texas will actually help a veteran get over those significant barriers. And that's what I did. I reached out. I had to overcome any type of self-loathing, things of that nature, and get over my feeling bad about myself, and as they say, pull myself up by my own bootstraps, okay? Which is impossible, by the way. But but if you can just change your whole mindset, your perception as to where you are, all you have to do is just fall back on what you learned in the military and apply that to your life. You can overcome basically everything in this world. You can overcome it. But one of the better ways to do it is to reach out to organizations such as COPE. And I wanted to ask Charlene, you a very important question. When I went through the process yesterday, you opened my eyes as to what other areas that a homeless person can go through. But based on that information, how can people see or experience what I experienced with your organization yesterday? How can they go through the same exercise? Who do they get in contact with?
They can go to unitethechurch.org. On their tab, it says resources and cost of poverty experience is one of them. They put on cost of poverty, the COPE experience all over the city of Dallas. I mean, this is the Dallas-centric, but the cost of poverty experience, they put it on all over Dallas, at churches, at schools. They put high school students through those experiences, and the calendar of when the next cost of poverty experience, there's, you know, you can see several. There's probably six or seven coming up throughout the course of the summer that anyone can register for. If there is a sponsor for the cost of poverty experience, then people attend at no charge. We did secure a sponsor for yesterday's, but if there's not, it's typically it runs like a $20 charge to experience. But there are certainly sponsored cost of poverty experiences throughout the city and coming and again coming up. So I highly recommend. I think every person in the United States needs to go through it.
Yes, I agree.
Because it opens your eyes. It opens your heart to the struggles that you absolutely do not think about. You think, and it really gives an area of compassion where when you see someone struggling, you think, oh, well, they just need to try harder. Oh, they're probably on drugs, or oh, they're probably just criminals. Jim said something about the, you know, in those food deserts where there's a criminal element, they had predators and criminals walking around and a drug dealer walking around. Well, if you're a family trying to make ends meet and you get approached by somebody that says, hey, if you'll carry this here, you know, to over there, and I'll give you $50, and that $50 is going to help you buy food for your family that week, it's hard to make the right decision and say no, because the right decision at that point in time for a person caught in an impoverished situation, the right decision is you're going to do whatever you have to do to feed your family. And it may be selling drugs, or
yes,
it may be, you know, stealing money. And again, a heart of compassion towards the situations that people are encountering that we take for granted is really key.
I think it was important for me to gain an understanding. So as I deal with some of these people, and I do all of the counseling for the Denton County Veterans Court, and I'm dealing with these young men and women who are in veterans courts, and most of them have made some sort of tactical mistake. Now I've got a better understanding of the frustration and what they're dealing with, because on top of everything else, they have to put the court in. And that happens an awful lot, because people are self-medicating, they're drinking, they're doing other drugs and things of that nature. So this helps me, and as it helps me, if other people went through this and awakened to this situation, then maybe we can start moving with hands up, not hands out, to lift these people up. And many of the cases, I think, and again, the frustration that you feel going through that experience is a frustration every day. And that frustration and that hopelessness and that helplessness, I think, is the biggest contributing factor to the suicide problem we've got, the mental health problem that we've got in the United States, and how that's just tearing things up. And in terms of when you talked about in those impoverished neighborhoods, the scammers, the criminals, the predators.
Absolutely.
It's frightening. It's
really
frightening.
Yeah, people stealing money from you. And who are you going to, you know, who are you going to call on? The law enforcement officers. And again, you know, we have this barrier with law enforcement that is perceived, but you don't know who that law enforcement officer has just been dealing with, or the five people before that. And when a grocery store owner cashed your check and shorted you $10, and you know, cry out and say, hey, this person shorted me $10, people are so frustrated on both sides, law enforcement as well as people trying to get the law to step in and help them, that it creates a never-ending cycle of despair.
So what COPE is doing, and people can go look at COPE, give us that website again.
It's unitethechurch.org.
Okay, and it's important to understand these causes of frustration and helplessness and homelessness, because we want to lift people up. We don't want this to continue. We don't want 22 veterans a day to take their own lives. And it's important to focus on how do we get them into productive places. So this is Jim Blythe and Ron Abrams and Charlene Johns, and we'll be right back after these words from all of our partners, and a special thank you to Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you, Dennis Schultz.
AM KBDT proudly presents this historic salute to Grapevine, Texas. Brought to you by Grapevine Antique Market. In 1866, the Grapevine Masonic Lodge is organized. J.W. Dunn is the first worshipful master. In 1867, they decide to build a school. Pine lumber is hauled by ox teams over 150 miles from the mills in East Texas. School begins in September of 1869. Colonel W.P. Bishop is principal. The school remains open until 1886.
Hi, I'm Brandon Cantrell with Grapevine Antique Market. We sell vintage items, antiques, and a lot of current decorative items. Very cool. My husband lived here when I got married 33 years ago. It's a small town feeling, although it's not that small anymore. I've just gotten to know Grapevine, and I have lots of friends here, and I like it.
Grapevine, Texas, a world festival and event city. Find out more about Grapevine by going to www.grapevinetexas.gov. Step back in time. Visit historic Grapevine, Texas today.
Do you know someone who has a drinking problem or drug addiction? Well, you know what comes next. If you or someone close to you has a bad drinking or drug problem and they have private health insurance, free help may be available. Call a recovering addiction specialist now at the Detox and Treatment Helpline. They'll help you get clean and sober and give you a total rehab in a beautiful five-star treatment facility. It's like a vacation, but a clean vacation. If you have private health insurance, quitting drugs, quitting alcohol, and getting sober is just a free call away. Sorry, we don't accept Medicare or Medicaid. Make this free, confidential call now before someone dies.
800-915-9734. 800-915-9734. 800-915-9734. 800-915-9734.
Hi, I'm Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor. I've been working with seniors for 10 years in Texas and Oklahoma, helping them with financial issues, home finance, helping them to restructure their life. Save their home, save the farm, that's what I do. I teach them, I help them, and I work with them. You can look me up on jimblythe.net or you can call me at 214-502-4600. That's 214-502-4600.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
This is Mark James inviting you to join us for flag-to-flag coverage of the 102nd running of the Indianapolis 500. 33 Verizon IndyCar Series drivers will race for the chance to go down in history and be named the winner of the greatest spectacle in racing.
Don't miss the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500, tomorrow only on 1160 AM KBDT.
Today's program is brought to you by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Visit us on Facebook or join the conversation by calling 214-810-TALK. That's 214-810-8255. And now, back to Alliance for the Brave.
Welcome back. This is Jim Blythe with Ron Abrams and Charlene Johns, Sunshine After Rain Ministries and Battle Buddy Info. Where you want to know where to go to get information, Battle Buddy Info. Thank you, Charlene, for being on board. If you just joined us on Facebook, I'd like to introduce to you Brigadier General Paul Owen, the commander of the Southwest Division of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. General, welcome today.
Thank you, Jim. Very glad to be here.
I'm telling you, it is absolutely fantastic. We're so glad you're here. One of the things that we're talking about now is the helplessness and homelessness in employment. And when we come back in the next hour, we're going to be talking with you extensively about employment opportunities that you were telling me about with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and how important that is. Your experience in the Army Corps of Engineers is absolutely fascinating. So I can't wait till we get into that interview and talk about that. So if you'd like to join us in this conversation, Ron, let's go back real quick, though. What the Texas Veterans Commission does to help transitioning soldiers and sailors get that job interview, get that resume, get the uniforms that they need.
Yes.
And one of the big things is you teach these people how to present themselves. That first impression is the most important impression.
Exactly. We don't essentially ask you to do a brain dump once you leave the military. But what we do ask you to do is to look at the culture of the civilian world. We try to get you to envision yourself in that world. And one of the best ways to do it is to take a look at the website of the particular employer that you're seeking to become an employee with. So essentially go to the website, check out the culture, see what they're doing with the community and within the community, see how they're dressed. Look at everything and glean everything that you can from that particular employer's website. At that point, that's where we pick up the ball, so to speak. We'll then help you with your interview techniques, your 30-second commercial when you're approaching those employer tables at the job fairs and things of that nature. But I think the most important thing is to help you get your resume together. Try not to use so many military acronyms. Get rid of those. But we will help you turn those words into the civilian jargon that they're looking for on those resumes.
And some of the women veterans have told me that when they went to a job, they were told, don't tell anybody you're a veteran. That's not true. I think you need to be proud.
You need to
and
do
I
that.
Think you also need to plug into groups like Women Veterans of America, which gives you that camaraderie and gives you a mentor to work with. Now, General, we're going to be talking when we come back about the Army Corps of Engineers, but you've got quite a program that you guys put on in employment as well. Can you describe just a little bit about that for someone who's transitioning from the military? You guys are really looking for them to join the Army Corps, aren't you?
Yeah, we're looking for all kinds of people. And, you know, I'd like to just dovetail a little bit about what Ron was just talking about resumes. And, you know, as someone's been in the Army a long time, 28 years now, I've had a lot of experience with soldiers transitioning. And I spent one of my years actually working for Cisco Systems in a fellowship out in San Jose, California. And we were looking at veterans employment, and one of the companies we were working with was Shell Oil. Shell Oil had this job called Activity Planner. So when you hear Activity Planner, what does that mean to you in the military? It means like I'm the guy that's going to get the bouncy house for organizational day on some. So, you know, retiring E7s, our sergeant first classes had no idea what that was, didn't want to do it. But it turns out Activity Planner is the guy that works logistics on and off the oil rigs out in the Gulf Coast. Huge job, great paying job, great translation of military skills. And once that translation occurred between what those jobs are, then, I think we've got some good success and got some veterans employed doing good things and helping out big companies being valuable employees.
And that's great because, obviously, the Army Corps of Engineers, you're not only the U.S. Army, but you are civilian employees. And you give hiring incentives and benefits to veterans.
Right. So for the Army Corps of Engineers, you know, we're mostly a civilian organization. So there's about 32,000 employees of the Army Corps of Engineers. In Southwestern Division, we have about 3,000 folks. About 100 are military. The rest are Department of the Army civilians. Department of the Army civilians don't have to go to basic training or do anything like that. So I think that's important misperception that some people have. But we always look for transitioning soldiers. So one of them is, several outreach programs we have with Wounded Warriors. We have lots of lakes in the area. We have a 7-state region in Southwestern Division, 73 lakes, and people those are often good ways to transition. We need park rangers, we need maintenance guys, we need all kinds of skill sets to help do those jobs. And if you're interested in working at a lake, and that's a great transition from a veteran or from a military service to that, contact us.
Maybe we'll the Brownwater Navy guys, my littoral Navy guys, would be right up your alley. Well, I tell you what, we're going to be back in just a few minutes after this word from our partners with an interview with Brigadier General Paul Owen. He is the commander of the Southwestern Division of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. This is going to be fascinating because, General Owen, I did not know all of the things that the Army Corps of Engineers did. So when we come back, we're going to be talking about what all you do. We're going to be talking about employment, and we're going to be talking about your strategies and background to make the Corps better. And we are so glad that you've just taken this job fairly recently, haven't you?
Yeah, last summer.
All right. We're going to be back in just a minute after this word from all of our partners. This is Jim Blythe, Ron Abrams.
News, talk, weather, sports. This is 1160 AM KBDT, Highland Park, Dallas-Fort Worth. Big D Talk. The news starts now.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. President Trump is sounding conciliatory at the G7 summit.
We are actually working on cutting tariffs and making it all very fair.
But discussions were expected to be tense as the U.S. takes on a hard line on imports from Canada, Mexico, and Europe. A White House official says diplomats are working with their counterparts to try to achieve a joint communique. The president is now flying to Singapore for his meeting with North Korea's Kim Jong-un. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo tells Japan's NHK that the U.S. won't lift sanctions until the North ends its nuclear program.
Chairman Kim told me directly that he was prepared to sit with President Trump and talk about how that denuclearization would take place. And the two of them will have the chance to have an extensive conversation surrounding that.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Medicare rules are confusing. They should be. There are over 130,000 pages of regulations. There's Part A through D, Medicare Advantage, and Medigap. According to the CMS, there are government programs available that can help you pay for your medical expenses. Choosing the right Medicare plan is a really big deal. The wrong choice can cost you a lot of money, and the right choice can put more money in your pocket. Call one of our licensed representatives today. At 65 plus Medicare, our free service can show you a plan that will maximize your Medicare benefits, ensure you are taking advantage of all available government assistance programs, and save you money. Call now.
800-635-6303. 800-635-6303. 800-635-6303. That's 800-635-6303.
Not all benefits listed may be available on all plans or in a single benefit package. Enrollment in the described plan type may be limited to certain times of the year unless you qualify for a special enrollment period. No obligation to enroll.
In Mesa, Arizona, an independent investigation is coming after police were shown on video beating a suspect and roughing up a teen. Police Chief Ramon Batista.
Let me be crystal clear. I'm angry and I'm deeply disappointed by what I saw in those videos. It's unacceptable and it needs to stop immediately.
A U.S. service member died and four others sustained injuries on Friday during a firefight with al-Shabaab militants in Somalia, according to military officials. The service members, along with Somali National Security Forces and the Kenyan Defense Force, came under attack in southern Somalia's Jubaland Autonomous Region. The names of the casualties were withheld pending notification of next of kin. Military officials said about 800 forces were conducting an operation to clear al-Shabaab militants about 200 miles from Mogadishu at the time of the attack. This is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
A world-renowned celebrity travel host has passed away. From Los Angeles, here's KNX reporter John Baird.
A lot of shock, a lot of sadness over his death, and Anthony Bourdain was here a lot. He loved L.A., Mexican food, In-N-Out Burger, but he zeroed in on Koreatown. He sampled the restaurants there. He highlighted the food. Russ Parsons is the former food editor of the L.A. Times.
That's what Tony did, in a way, was bring this entire world to the American table and introduce us to cultures that we may never otherwise have experienced.
He says his own reaction to Bourdain's death is of extreme sadness, and he notes that none of us can ever really know what's going on in someone else's head.
Anthony Bourdain was 61. SpaceX is looking to expand its facilities at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida in order to streamline its operations at the Florida location. The company, headed by Elon Musk, filed plans for a 130,000-square-foot hangar, a launch control center, and a rocket garden at the NASA Center. The SpaceX operations area would be on 67 acres of agricultural land near NASA's Vehicle Assembly Building and the center's industrial area. From there, the company would refurbish its reusable Falcon rockets. The hangar would store used rocket boosters for refurbishment, and a rocket garden would display historic space vehicles. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Welcome to Alliance for the Brave, a program that advocates for our veterans and first responders. Presented by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Certified Senior Advisor Jim Blythe, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Alliance for the Brave, serving and empowering those who have served in the line of duty, with a focus on bringing the core leadership values of honor, duty, and service to our communities. America, let's take action to take care of our brave men and women who have put their lives on the line to serve us nationally and locally. It's time to tune in, join in, and plug in. Welcome to Alliance for the Brave. And now, here's your host, Jim Blythe.
In the air, everywhere, around the world, you're listening to Alliance for the Brave, where we bring education, information, and communication to today's veterans and active duty military and first responders. We're being broadcast for KBDT 1160 Radio in Dallas and heard around the world on this great nation on USA Radio Network. And around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network. And a special shout out to Dennis Schultz, the president of the Armed Forces Radio Network. This is Jim Blythe, and with me, Ron Abrams, U.S. Army veteran.
Good morning.
You are also the director of the TVC employment.
Yes, director, well, actually district outreach coordinator, TVC. And essentially, we help veterans overcome any barrier to employment that you can think of, to include homelessness, service-connected disabilities, even if you're set back in bills or car payments or even car repairs, definitely get a hold of us. You can find us at tvc.texas.gov. That's Tango Victor Charlie. And you have to spell Texas out. So that's tvc.texas.gov.
And today I have a very, very special honor. I'd like to introduce Brigadier General Paul Owen, the commander of the Southwest Division of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. General Owens, welcome.
Glad to be here, Jim.
What a thrill, man. I got to meet you at the Greater Dallas Military Ball, and I did not know all of the things that the Army Corps of Engineers does and involved in for this great nation and the military. And when your PAO sent me this information, I was like, good grief, we got to talk about that, because I don't think a lot of Americans know what all you do.
No, that's true. I mean, I think, you know, you look out your window, you have a beautiful office right here. I'm looking out the window, and I'm looking at the Trinity River. And, you know, that's part of one of the things, the many things we do, is work on flood risk management. And that's, you know, everybody drives over the Trinity River every day, and you see that little bitty river and that big space that's there.
Yeah.
Well, that's all designed and worked for to help with flood control in the Dallas area.
Let's go back, General Owen, and can we talk a little bit about your background?
Sure.
You are an Academy graduate. You're a West Pointer.
Uh-huh. Right. The U.S. military.
Yes,
I know
military
you're a Navy
Academy
guy, so I just want to make sure everybody knows that I went to the military Academy.
Yeah. And that is such, I think that is such a phenomenal accomplishment to be able to go there, and all of that you do and the leadership and the men that I've met that went there were just unbelievable. But you were there, and then you were commissioned as an engineering officer in 1990. Wow. General, you have the Bachelor of Science in Aerospace Engineering. I mean, aerospace and water, that doesn't quite mix, but, you know, it is what it is. But you also hold two masters, one of which is from MIT.
Right.
That is amazing. And your MIT master's is in what?
Nuclear engineering. Yeah.
So. Wow.
So the Army sent me to Boston and MIT for a couple of years to get a master's degree, and that was part of a program where I was learning. I was going to go train to teach at West Point. So I taught physics at West Point following getting a master's degree in nuclear engineering from MIT.
How I imagine that was exciting, too. And to be in the classroom and being an Army officer, that also kind of differentiated you from the other engineers that were studying with you, didn't it?
It was a unique experience being in that environment at in Boston and MIT. Yeah, I was definitely not among the people that I had served with from the previous 7 years. So,
General, one of the things is you've been the Transatlantic Afghan District. You've been ran that command.
Right.
I think one of the most interesting things is when I read your bio. You were in New York, and you commanded the Army Corps when the Hurricane Sandy came through.
Right. So New York District of the Army Corps of Engineers, we were based out of Manhattan. So our offices were in Manhattan. I lived in Brooklyn for 3 years, and I got there in 2012, about a month before Hurricane Sandy hit, and so had to deal with that.
In the Army Corps, you were telling me that you worked very closely with FEMA. And what all did you guys do with that? I mean, tell us a little bit about that, because most people don't know what you do in disaster recovery.
So for Hurricane Sandy, which was in 2012, that was obviously in New York, we work for in what's called Emergency Support Function 3 for FEMA, which is General Engineering and Services. And that covers a lot of ground. One of the things we had to do in New York was unwater the tunnel. So the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel from Brooklyn to Manhattan was flooded with water based on the rain. So we had to figure out how to get water out of that. And among that and about 11 other tunnels. So we also did debris removal all up and down Long Island and New York. And we provided technical assistance in New Jersey to help with that. And we did temporary emergency power. So that was a big issue back then in Sandy. And it was all good experience. It was a very traumatic time in 2012. This was about a week before President Obama's re-election in 2012, mm-hmm. So highly political situation, very demanding to show progress very quickly. So it was very difficult, very challenging. Our guys did a great job, and I learned incredible amounts about the capabilities of our U.S. Army Corps of Engineers civilians and their ability to respond and react to these disasters.
Now, that wasn't your first rodeo when it comes to hurricanes. You participated in the Hurricane Katrina disaster relief as well, didn't you?
Right. So as a major, I went down to New Orleans. I got there after Katrina hit. And if you remember, there was another hurricane, Rita, that followed.
Right, yeah.
And I was there while Rita was there. And so we worked on the same kind of things, debris removal, temporary housing, putting on temporary roofs for people. Temporary emergency power, all those things that help get people back to a little bit of normalcy so we can get the economy going again.
And there was a whole lot that had to do, though, also with you guys can maintain the intercoastal waterway system.
Right.
And so you had a lot to do with that to keep shipping lanes open.
Right.
The intercoastal waterway, as well as the ports of New Orleans and I'm sure Baton Rouge, because a lot of people don't know Baton Rouge is a huge refinery town.
Right, sure. So and New Orleans is the number one inland waterways port in the country when it comes to tonnage. So, and of course, in New York, New York Harbor is huge with the amount of materials and equipment and goods that come in through New York Harbor. So during Sandy, that was one of our issues too, was restoring the navigation channel so that ships could get in and out. And you know, that wasn't my last rodeo either. So,
oh, wow.
You know, last summer was Hurricane Harvey. So we were, very much involved in that. Our Galveston district down in Galveston was on the point of the spear there, trying to do all this recovery. And we were again involved in all these things we just talked about: debris removal, temporary housing, temporary power, all those things we do for FEMA when it comes to disasters. And we also do our other Corps of Engineers' unique missions, which is restoring the navigation channel. So Texas coast, I think all your listeners in Texas understand how important that is to the economy here and the petrochemical industry and the gasoline that comes in and out of that supports our nation in incredible ways. If that's shut down, or it's even if it's there's shoaling, and what happens in a hurricane with our navigation channels is that debris and mud and soil and stuff washes into the navigation channel, and the depth of the navigation channel goes from maybe 12 feet to 8 feet or less, or 6 feet, and sometimes even less than that, and then the ships can't pass. And if the barges and ships can't pass, goods can't travel, and that's just something that we don't see a lot in the United States, is the waterway, the dependence that our nation and our economy has on the waterway and shipborne transportation.
General, I wanted to ask, when it comes to a disaster, What would you like to ask civilians to do in a situation like that when the Corps of Engineers come in?
Yeah, so I think, and we went through this a lot in Houston, you know, over a trillion gallons of water fell over Houston in 4 days, which has just recently come out as that is, you know, bigger than anything that's ever happened in the United States.
Biblical.
But the best thing they can do is listen to the radio, tune into your local authorities, pay attention to what's going on and what instructions they're telling you. So if, you know, if your local authorities tell you that it's time to evacuate, pick up your stuff. Evacuate. And ahead of time, if you just know where the threats are around you, if you know you live in a flood area, a flood prone area, and by the way, all of Houston is in a flood prone area because it's flat. There's no high ground in Houston that I can see. So you are in a flood prone area, especially when it rains like it did. So be prepared, know where to go, have a plan, and then listen to instructions that you're getting from your local elected officials.
Now, one of the things we've been talking about, the coastal areas and the coastal waterways, but you were also heavily involved, or the Corps was, in the terrible tornado that went through Joplin, Missouri.
Right.
And you guys had a very integral role in what you were doing there. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was, you know, pretty, I wasn't here at the time, but that was definitely a very historic tornado that went through Joplin, Missouri. And, you know, just getting a town back on its feet requires all kinds of engineering efforts to include temporary facilities for fire departments, for police stations, for getting schools back up. All those things that help people return to normalcy are where we play a role.
That town was so devastated. I had a real good banker friend up there, and I called him, and he said, Jimmy, you don't want to come up here. It's a mess. Mm-hmm. And it must have been just horrible because it tore everything up. Now, so we're talking about disaster relief. So the Army Corps of Engineers has several responsibilities, and we've kind of touched on a couple of them. Disaster relief being one of the most important as it relates to our country. Maintaining the waterways and the shipping channels, that's another one. Within your district is the Kerr McGee channels that are up in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And I'm familiar with that because I go up to Tulsa all the time, and I pass over those things. Mm-hmm. So you guys maintain that lock system, and you maintain those, and a lot of people don't realize the Mid-America industrial area that's out to, up there outside of Tulsa, that's pretty important.
Yeah, very important. And so the McKellar-Kerr Arkansas River Navigation System, we like to call it the MCARNS. Of course, the Army loves acronyms, right?
So indeed.
We're gonna call it the MCARNS, and has 18 locks that go from Tulsa all the way down to where it meets the Mississippi River. And the Arkansas River is a huge navigation asset for this country. Lots of soybean farmers. I don't know if you saw recently, President Trump talked about, you know, selling $70 billion worth of soybeans to China, and guess where all that stuff comes from? It comes from the middle of our country,
yeah.
And we need these rivers, and they got to stay navigable. To ship that stuff out. We're already feeding the world in the United States, and almost all that stuff comes from the Middle America and you know, the Mississippi River and the Arkansas River and the Ohio River. All that 67% of the water that is between, you know, from the nation drains out through New Orleans and presents this incredible asset that we have for our country.
Man, that, and you guys are responsible for maintaining that.
Right. So in Southwestern Division, we have the Arkansas River, and among others, there's lots of others like the Colorado, the Brazos, all those rivers that go and flow out through Texas are also really important to
Rio Grande as well?
The Rio Grande is actually controlled by what we call the International Waterway Border Commission. So we cooperate with Mexico in managing that waterway. So.
Now, you also provide the management and development and the building of many of the reservoirs that provide both water for our cities and communities, but hydroelectric power as well.
Right.
I didn't realize all of that in what you guys do.
Yeah, we have 73 lakes in the states that we're responsible for in this region, and 18 of them have hydropower. So, you know, when we're flowing water through the dams and they're producing hydropower and returning to the grid, and we work with the Southwestern Power Authority to make sure that's integrated in the rest of the energy solutions there.
I think that's absolutely fascinating as we try and become more and more energy efficient and basically moving away from oil. Water power is enormously important. So we'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to continue this conversation talking about the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and we're going to give you some information. If you're interested in working for the Army Corps, we've got the Major General, or actually Brigadier General, but I think you're a major guy, okay?
We'll see. Someday.
And we're so thrilled to have you. Brigadier General Paul Owen and Ron Abrams, TVC. This is Jim Blythe. We'll be right back after these words from our partners. And again, we thank the USA Radio Network and the Armed Forces Radio Network for broadcasting our program. We'll be right back after all of these words from our partners. Hope you're having a really great day.
AM KBDT proudly presents this historic salute to Grapevine, Texas. Brought to you by the Spice and Tea Exchange at 319 South Main Street. In mid-November of 1845, settlers from Missouri, the Archibald Leonard family, B.J. and Hiram Crowley, Ambrose Foster, and the family of Judge Jacob Moorhead settled near Lonesome Dove. 2 years later, the Lonesome Dove Baptist Church was established south of Judge Moorhead's place near Grapevine.
I'm Nancy McBrayer for the Spice and Tea Exchange. We started in Fort Worth and just really loved the Grapevine area. We wanted to capture the folks that were from Dallas that came to the stockyards that said, oh, this is so far for us. And Grapevine is such a beautiful area. We decided that that was a perfect place for our second location.
Grapevine, Texas, a world festival and event city. Find out more about Grapevine by going to www.grapevinetexas.gov.
I'm Nancy McBrayer for the Spice and Tea Exchange.
Step back in time. Visit historic Grapevine, Texas today. You have to sell your gorgeous but suddenly unaffordable house. Now, who will buy it? These guys buy. You have to sell your mom and dad's old run-down house. Now, who will buy it? These guys buy. You have to sell your crazy Aunt Zelda's house. You know, the one with all the cats. These guys buy. Taj Mahal? These guys buy. Old musty dump? These guys buy. Just plain ugly? These guys buy. Sell your property now. As is, no fees, no repairs, no waiting. TheseguysBuy.com. 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 The American Red Cross, the Dallas Baptist Men, Community Emergency Response Teams, the Salvation Army. To that list, add the RLA Scouts. Founded in the ashes of 9/11, the RLA Scouts provide agile, well-trained, certified, and vetted first response personnel available to police and fire rescue at a moment's notice. And we need you. Whether you help fund the mission or join the mission, consider the RLA Scouts. Visit their website now and make a tax-deductible donation. RLAscouts.org. The RLA Scouts, the next rescue resource for Texas.
Hi, I'm Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor. I've been working with seniors for 10 years in Texas and Oklahoma, helping them with financial issues, home finance, helping them to restructure their life. Save their home, save the farm, that's what I do. I teach them, I help them, and I work with them. You can look me up on jimblythe.net or you can call me at 214-502-4600. That's 214-502-4600.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
You're listening to Alliance for the Brave, honoring, serving, and empowering those who have served in the line of duty. Today's program is presented by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Learn more about our mission and how you can plug in with us at AllianceForTheBrave.com. And now, back to the conversation on Alliance for the Brave.
And we're back. We're back. Thank you for tuning in to Alliance for the Brave. I'm Ron Abrams, District Outreach Coordinator for the Texas Veterans Commission. And, of course, the illustrious Jim. He likes to have those acronyms there. Jim Blythe.
Not really. A U.S. Senior Navy Advisor. Veteran. That's enough right there. And Brigadier General Paul Owen. Man, I'm telling you, we hit a home run because I didn't know a lot about the Army Corps of Engineers. So, General Owen, let's continue the conversation about the lakes and some of the programs you've got going on the reservoirs and lakes that you gentlemen manage.
Yeah. So the lakes, they serve a lot of purposes. I think one of the purposes the public sees more than others is recreation. So, you know, Grapevine Lake, Lake Louisville, Joe Pool, Sam Rayburn, Ray Hubbard, all those lakes are Corps of Engineers operated lakes. The reason they're there primarily is for either the general purpose is either hydropower, it could be flood control, it could be water supply. All those issues are what we use those lakes for. But presents these great recreational opportunities, and we get lots of visitors to our lakes every year to go out there. I'm sure most people in Dallas are pretty aware of Louisville and Grapevine and Joe Pool and all those places. But, you know, we always have – I just want to tell people to wear your life jacket because that is really important. Every day or every weekend I get a report Monday morning about people we find that were passed away because they didn't wear their life jacket. So it's two or three people every weekend, it seems like, that pass away. So
good
I just
heavens.
Encourage people, if you go out, you recreate at one of our lakes, please wear your life jacket.
You guys also are in charge of Lake Texoma, I think.
That's right.
And for many, many years, you know that was the largest man-made lake in the world,
mm-hmm.
and you built it.
Right.
And you guys maintain it. That's also a hydroelectric power
right.
plant as well. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
It's also some of the best striper fishing in the country,
yeah.
from what I've heard.
And we're in the process of replacing a turbine there. So these lakes are, these hydropower facilities are really old. They're about, many of them are 50 years old, and we're going through a big rehabilitation process to make sure they last for another 50 or 100 years. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, because Lake Texoma, I think, was built in 1949, mm-hmm. something like that. I think this is so terribly important, though, to also talk about some of your background in your operational careers, and you are airborne.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about your career and how it helped you to transition over or move over into the Army Corps.
Yeah. So there's two real parts. You know, I like to call it the operational side of the Army Corps of Engineers, and then there's the civilian water management construction side of the Army Corps of Engineers. So as an officer, you switch between both of these. USACE, we call one USACE, and the other one called the Engineer Regiment. So the Engineer Regiment is the units that deploy and go do things in Iraq and Afghanistan at Fort Hood and all those places like that. So and I've spent most of my career doing that kind of stuff. So, but I started off, got commissioned in, from West Point, went to Germany for 3 years in the early 90s, which was an interesting time for the Army, you know, right after the Gulf War and a lot of drawdown going on in Europe. And then came back to the United States. I was a training company commander at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. So where I got the chance to help soldiers that are just coming into the Army try to figure out their way and get through advanced individual training there. So, and then after that, I ended up teaching at West Point, came back to Fort Hood after I taught at West Point. Great experience teaching at West Point. Was with the 4th Infantry Division, and we went to Iraq. And in Iraq, I was an operations officer for the 588th Engineer Battalion, where we got a mission to basically be an infantry battalion in the city of Bakuba, Iraq. So very, very different mission on that. After that, I was a battalion commander in Fort Benning, Georgia, for an engineer battalion, and then went to the 82nd Airborne and deployed to Afghanistan a second and worked with them in Afghanistan. And then a couple – that's I'll just leave it at that for now. But it's been an awesome career for an engineer officer. And I've done everything from you know, kicking down doors in Iraq, doing raids, to worrying about how much sand is on the beach in Long Island. So broad range of experiences.
Good heavens, that is.
Career, so.
That is unbelievable. You guys build facilities for the military. You were talking about Fort Hood. You were talking about Fort Sam. All of these facilities you guys build for the Army, also for the Air Force?
Right. So we are the construction agent for all military construction for the Army and the Air Force. And, you know, we oversee the construction, and generally that is done by contractors. So big construction companies come in, and, you know, the Corps of Engineers' responsibility is generally that we're kind of the general contractor and make sure that what the Army and what the taxpayers' dollars is paying for is actually being built and to a standard, to a way that's going to be used appropriately for our soldiers.
One of the things you just said is the standards. Military standards have to be different from civilian standards. And that's important that the Corps is in that supervisory capacity bringing that about.
Yeah. Lots of threats to our bases that we have to incorporate into our designs.
So you're talking about another aspect of the Corps is security. Mm-hmm. All right, when we come back, this is Jim Blight with Ron Abrams, with Brigadier General Paul Owen, the commander of the Southwest Division of the Army Corps of Engineers. We're going to be talking more about security, taking care of us after a disaster, and I want to go back and talk about job opportunities with the Army Corps of Engineers. I think that's really important. You and I have talked about that before. So we're going to be right back after this word from everyone that we need to hear from. This is Jim Blythe and Ron Abrams with Brigadier General Paul Owen. We'll be right back for your Armed Forces Radio Network and your USA Radio Network.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. President Trump is sounding conciliatory at the G7 summit.
We are actually working on cutting tariffs and making it all very fair.
But discussions were expected to be tense as the U.S. takes on a hard line on imports from Canada, Mexico, and Europe. A White House official says diplomats are working with their counterparts to try to achieve a joint communique. The president is now flying to Singapore for his meeting with North Korea's Kim Jong-un. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo tells Japan's NHK that the U.S. won't lift sanctions until the North ends its nuclear program.
Chairman Kim told me directly that he was prepared to sit with President Trump and talk about how that denuclearization would take place. And the two of them will have the chance to have an extensive conversation surrounding that.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
When I say Italy, what comes to mind?
Venice. Capri. Oh my gosh, Capri was marvelous.
The views, the cliffside views, or traveling to Sorrento.
Pirello Tours.
Oh, Pirello Tours, for sure.
Pirello.
Hi, I'm Steve Pirello of Pirello Tours. With over 70 years of tour experience to Italy, it's no wonder Pirello Tours is synonymous with travel to Italy.
I think of the culture.
And to walk up to certain areas and touch a wall and think, well, this wall's like 3,000 years old.
Being on a Pirello Tour on our anniversary was better than anything I can remember ever. On an anniversary.
I personally approve every itinerary to ensure a stress-free, once-in-a-lifetime vacation.
Salute!
Call now for your free insider's guide to Pirillo's Italy. Call in the next 30 minutes and qualify for a $100 gift card when you travel with us. Call 800-547-6018. 800-547-6018. 800-547-6018.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-2206. That's 1-800-379-2206.
The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series.
Larson around the outside. Hamlin picks up a big push.
NASCAR's best, motor into Michigan.
Chase Elliott underneath him for second. Joey Logano underneath him for third.
Driven to seize supremacy.
Kyle Larson, he's got that Chevrolet out front.
The Firekeepers Casino 400.
Chase looking for his first career win, will not give up.
Sunday at noon on the Motor Racing Network.
Don't miss the Firekeepers 400. Tomorrow at noon, only on 1160 AM KBDT.
You're listening to Alliance for the Brave, honoring, serving, and empowering those who have served in the line of duty. Today's program is presented by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Learn more about our mission and how you can plug in with us at AllianceForTheBrave.com. And now, back to the conversation on Alliance for the Brave.
And welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to today's program. I'm Ron Abrams, Regional Outreach Coordinator for the Texas Veterans Commission, now duly dubbed as the District Outreach Coordinator. And we also have on the show today our illustrious host, Jim Blythe, who is a Certified Senior Advisor. And we have a great guest for you today. So make sure you grab your pencils and papers because we're going to be giving you some great information for your notes. On today's show, we have Brigadier General Paul E. Owen, who is the commander and engineer of the Southwestern Division of United States Army Corps of Engineers. And again, thank you for coming on the show, sir.
All right. Glad to be here again.
Man, it's a thrill. I just didn't know all of these things about the Army Corps. And you've talked about the waterways. You've talked about the disaster recovery and relief. I'd like for you to talk a little bit about the military construction programs and what you guys are doing there.
So I'd like to just so we have three major lines of effort in the Army Corps of Engineers. One is the Civil Works Program, which we talked about. That includes the lakes and the MCARNs and the waterways and all that stuff and the flood risk management piece. The other piece is the Military Construction Program, which, as we mentioned, is for generally the Army and the Air Force. And in fact, we do more work for the Air Force than we do for the Army. So big bases like Tinker Air Force Base in Oklahoma and Shepherd Air Force Base here in Texas, Joint Base San Antonio. Then you got Fort Hood and Fort Bliss and Fort Sill and many other places that have ongoing construction needs. So in the third part of our line of effort is really the interagency and international services program. So we do work for Department of Homeland Security along the border. We do work for Veterans Affairs in terms of helping with hospitals and building hospitals and things like that. And we work with EPA and environmental restoration and things like that and Superfund sites. So there's a lot of different parts that we do in the Corps of Engineers, and those are our three big lines of effort: civil works, military construction, and international and interagency support.
So you're managing quite a bit of money as well.
Yeah, our program is we generally award, I think last year we awarded about $2.7 billion in contracts last year.
Wow.
But there's many more. I'm not sure exactly the number of ongoing construction projects. But, you know, our big operational priorities right now within the division are Fort Bliss is building. We're building a new hospital at Fort Bliss. That's a big project that we got to get done. And then the next thing we got to do is help with hurricane recovery. So that's another down in Houston that's still going on. And we're about ready to get there's a supplemental bill that was passed. And between the Office of Management and Budget and the Department of Defense, they're working out the projects that are going to be funded by that, but that's to the tune of about $17 billion for the Corps of Engineers to do projects with. That's across the nation, this region. We're not sure how much we'll get, but it'll be a significant chunk of that. And the third priority is the border wall that we're building for Department of Homeland Security. So we're not political in this. We're the executing agent. We're gonna figure out a way to work out and get done what we can according to what our authorities are and what the budget gives us. So
I think that's tremendous because it's opportunities for contractors to work with you. And I think this is so important because a lot of people don't know what all you do or how those are administered. Like you were talking about the wall. Controversial, but how is that administered? It's through the Army Corps of Engineers. It's through your division for the most part because you are the Southern United States Division. Right. Now, let's kind of tell people, you got Texas, you got Louisiana, mm-hmm. you got Arkansas, you got Oklahoma,
Missouri and Kansas. So there's parts of Missouri and Kansas, like southern Missouri and Table Rock Lake. I'm not sure if anybody's heard of that, but that's out there by Branson, Missouri and Springfield, Missouri. And then southern Kansas has a lot of lakes that our Oklahoma, our Tulsa district oversees too. So.
Oh, you guys take, you've got Lake Eufaula, I believe,
yep.
and
yep.
Grand Lake of the Cherokees, and that's all part of that waterway that so few people know about.
Right.
I'm serious. I mean, I've gone over that thing, Mid-America Industrial Park, many times, and it finally dawned on me, This is a major navigable water system, and you see barge traffic on that thing all the day. Yeah. I mean, it's just
right.
Amazing.
And it's it's a lot about water supply too. So, this part of the country is pretty unique, and where there's just enough water, where if you manage it properly, you're going to meet the needs of the population, and in fact, you can meet the needs of a growing population. I think everybody here knows how rapidly North Texas is growing in population. And so if you manage it right, we can meet those needs. And that's where the Corps of Engineers comes in, and the state of Texas plays a big role in that, and the other states of Oklahoma, too. But again, in this region, when you go through periods of drought, you really need these reservoirs to help with water supply.
Are there other reservoirs that are on the drawing board that you guys have announced and that you're working on?
So recently, the Lower Bodark is a reservoir that we approved the permit for. So the Corps of Engineers, we also have a regulatory authority. So anything that involves wetlands or navigable waterways, a company that's anybody that's applying for a permit has to get or wants to do a construction project. If they affect those two things, then they have to get a permit from the Corps of Engineers. So Lower Bodark, the North Texas Water Board applied for a permit. It took a while, but we actually just approved the permit. So they are in the process of starting construction on a new reservoir up in North Texas, in Lower Bodark.
Wow. Will that be a fairly big lake?
It will be very big. You know, I don't have the statistics on the top of my head, but it is important to the North Texas region. And, you know, we went through a very deliberate process, probably some would say maybe too deliberate, but, with all the interagency partners, including EPA, to make sure that the environmental impacts are acceptable.
So, a lot of people don't know the history of Dallas and don't know how important the water supply and water is. Let me just take you back in history, because I grew up here. In the 1950s, we had a terrible drought. I mean, it was horrible. And, like, we had White Rock Lake, and that was about it. A lot of people don't understand that. That was water supply for the city of Dallas. And there were men like John Stemmons, who is Stemmons Freeway, mm-hmm. was named after, and he headed a commission that basically got Lake Louisville done, got Lake Levan done, got Lake Ray Hubbard done, and ultimately got, I think, worked on Cedar Creek and some of these others. But we didn't have adequate water back in the 1950s. Now, the city of Dallas back in the 1950s was probably about 250,000 people. I don't know. But today, you're looking at the North Texas area of a metropolitan district of what, about 7 million people?
Right. Yeah.
And that takes a lot of water.
Yeah. And it's growing, too. So, I know Texas knows the statistics better than I do about how many people are coming into the state every week, but it's significant. So it's growing a lot, and the water demands are increasing. So we got to manage it very carefully.
And I think that's critically important. As well as the recreational aspect. Now, there are some parks, some national parks, I think the LBJ grasslands. Mm-hmm. You guys manage that as well, don't you?
Right. So we have parks. They're Corps of Engineers parks. We have park rangers. As we mentioned, those are great employment opportunities, especially for soldiers transition out of the Army. We are looking for people that have, if you want to work as a park ranger, those guys are pretty highly skilled. They have degrees in natural resources and things like that. But we do. We have a number. I think the Corps of Engineers has more visits across the country to their parks than the National Park Service has to their parks. So people
wow.
don't always realize that. But we are, everybody wants to be near the water. And it's important for us to make sure we have, sustainable recreational program that doesn't necessarily interfere with the primary purpose of the lake, which is things like hydropower and water supply and flood control and things like that.
So. You guys also do water quality testing. You do maintenance of the water quality in these lakes as well.
Yeah.
And that's an important part of what you do.
Yeah, and that can be some poor purposes of lakes is water quality. So you release water that's good. You you know, dilution is the solution kind of thing. So you get good clean water, and the water supply and water quality is important too. Yeah.
And this becomes very critically important, especially when we have major disasters. And I'm going to kind of ask an off-the-wall question, but aren't you guys also involved in some of the preventative things like the seawalls down in New Orleans and the pump stations and the various things like that to try and avert a certain degree of that disaster?
Yeah. So we have one of the things we've been talking about in Texas is the Ike Dyke. Have you heard of the Ike Dyke before?
No, sir.
So that's down in the Houston-Galveston area. You know, after Hurricane Ike hit in 2008, did severe damage. There's been a lot of efforts to figure out how do we prevent those damages in the future. So we have a new study. It's called, well, it's an ongoing study. It's called Coastal Texas, and it's designed to prevent damages all the way up into Houston and all the way from Corpus Christi to Sabine, Neches Waterway, in Beaumont, in Port Arthur area, to do that. It's a huge project. It's probably on the order. It's tens of billions of dollars to construct.
Wow.
So we'll have to figure out, you know, how that gets funded in the future, but we got a plan.
And yes, Ron, you had a question.
Well, it had to do with employment. As you know, General, we at the Texas Veterans Commission are trying to get a lot of veterans employed here in the state of Texas. Right now, we're at about 3.7% unemployment rate for veterans, which is great, but we want to bring it down to zero. But we have a lot of listeners that have some interest as far as coming aboard with the Army Corps of Engineers. When it comes to employment, what advice would you give a young person or a transitioning service member if they had interests in joining your organization?
Well, we are looking for all kinds of different skill sets. So, you know, guys with degrees in civil and mechanical engineering and biology and architects and lawyers and stuff like that. So all those skill sets have jobs that we're looking for. We're also looking for guys that don't, you know, necessarily have a bachelor's degree from we have lots of operations and maintenance team workers that help us out. We have park rangers and people that work at parks to help maintain the facilities to deal with this. And, you know, we have worked closely with the bases around Texas. And over the last year, we've hired over 100 people or 100 soldiers from bases where there's this relationship where if they have somebody that they, the transition assistance stations that are there, if they have somebody they know that's looking for maybe an opportunity to start work, we can bring them on as a way to do that. So there's a couple programs to do that. One of them is called the Operation Warfighter Program, called OWF.
Okay.
Great acronym. So it's a federal internship program for wounded, ill, and injured service members that places them in supportive work settings that positively impact their rehabilitation. So that's Operational Warfighter Program. If you Google that, I'm sure you'll find some links. We also have the Wounded Warrior opportunity for us. So we in Southwestern Division, we were able to assist over 100 transitioning service members last year and put them into job placement and internships and rehabilitation programs that help with that. So so we have people across the country to help placement with these OWF internship program. We also have something called the Veterans Curation Program. So believe it or not, the Corps of Engineers has some archaeological artifacts that we're trying to catalog, and that's run by out of the St. Louis district of the Corps of Engineers. But, you know, if you're interested in that kind of stuff, you could apply for this Veterans Curation Program. You learn some skills and maybe even find permanent employment if you want to continue doing that.
But, outstanding.
We've got some information from your Army Corps of Engineers website that your PAO sent me, and I was really, really amazed because there is a how to apply for jobs with the Army Corps of Engineers, steps to applying for USA jobs. So you can go to the Army Corps of Engineers website and get this information.
Right.
And I think it's really important and critical. General, I don't think people know enough about the Corps.
Yeah.
What opportunities are there? That's almost tragic.
Right. And for veterans, if I could, you know, veterans have a unique status for the Corps of Engineers. So when you go to apply for a federal job, it's not just the Corps of Engineers, but it's across all federal agencies. If you want to transition to be Department of Defense or Department of the Army civilian, there's a Veterans Employment Opportunity Authority that allows us, that kind of brings your name to the top of the list. So if you're qualified, you're going to get a look. And there are great opportunities, and there's great benefits to being a Department of the Army civilian. There's health benefits. There's all kinds of stuff going on there with vacation and sick leave and competitive annual salaries and promotion opportunities and family-friendly leave, flexible hours, other things that we can do to help make it the right place. And we have opportunities all over for Southwestern Division, all over this region, but Dallas, Houston, Galveston, Tulsa, Little Rock, El Paso, you name it. We got all kinds of opportunities. So,
man, that is great information. General Owen, I tell you what, we're going to be right back after this word from our various sponsors, and we're going to be wrapping up talking about, again, the Corps, its job, employment opportunities. We're talking with General Paul Owen, Brigadier General Paul Owen, the commander of this Southwestern Division of the Army Corps of Engineers. This is Jim Blythe, Ron Abrams, and Brigadier General Owen. We'll be right back for these words from our partners.
1160 AM KBDT proudly presents this historic salute to Grapevine, Texas. Brought to you by Grapevine Power Sports. In 1889, the J.E. Faust store opens on Main Street. It's now Grapevine's oldest remaining brick building. Eggs sell for 10 cents per dozen. Butter is 20 cents per pound. And chickens are $2.50 a dozen.
I'm Aaron McWhorter with Grapevine Power Sports. When I bought the dealership, I came in to buy a four-wheeler. They were a freestanding Kawasaki dealership. And I said, Dennis, I don't mean to pry. Are you interested in selling this place? And he said, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but we're fixing to put it on the market. I said, Dennis, I'll take it. In the last 3 years, we've done 60% increase. The mayor's a customer of mine. The city manager is a customer of mine. A lot of friends that live here still. The small town feel right in the middle of the big metroplex.
Grapevine, Texas, a world festival and event city. Find out more about Grapevine by going to www.grapevinetexas.gov. Step back in time. Visit historic Grapevine, Texas today.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I've had 10 major surgeries, including 3 brain surgeries. And I have extreme rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, and fibromyalgia. And I wanted to let him know that his Balance of Nature have helped boost my immune system so much, because I'm on injectable medications for the rheumatoid, and they burn your immune system. Since I've been taking Balance of Nature, I haven't gotten a cold, nothing. It really helped me tremendously.
Good health is only a phone call away. What are you waiting for? Don't miss your opportunity to get a free month's supply of Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-2468-751. That's 1-800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code USA.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-2206. That's 1-800-379-2206.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
This is Mark James inviting you to join us for flag-to-flag coverage of the 102nd running of the Indianapolis 500. 33 Verizon IndyCar Series drivers will race for the chance to go down in history and be named the winner of the greatest spectacle in racing.
Don't miss the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500, tomorrow only on 1160 AM KBD.
Today's program is brought to you by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Visit us on Facebook or join the conversation by calling 214-810-TALK. That's 214-810-8255. And now, back to Alliance for the Brave.
Welcome back. This is Jim Blythe, Ron Abrams, and we have Brigadier General Paul Owen, the Southwestern Commander of the fabulous U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Man, I have learned so much today. Let me stop for just a second, though. And, Ron, you've got something for TBC you need to mention.
Indeed, sir, I do. If there are veterans listening today and you're looking for employment, we have an opportunity for you. On June 14th, which is next Thursday, the Texas VFW Foundation will be holding a job fair in downtown Dallas at the Sheridan Dallas Hotel. Again, that's Thursday, June 14th, 2018, starting at 10 a.m. all the way until 2 p.m. And this will, again, be held at the Sheridan Dallas Hotel, 400 North Olive Street. Again, that's 400 North Olive Street, starting at 10 a.m. all the way up until 2. Next Thursday, June 14th, Veterans of Foreign Wars Foundation Job Fair. Govern yourselves accordingly.
All right. And General Owen, you've got a website that's very, very important to guide people for employment as well. Let's repeat that, please.
Right. So for the Southwestern Division of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, we're looking to hire about 400 people across all kinds of disciplines. So if you're interested in some of the things we've been talking about, and I know I kind of talked a lot, and I hope, you know, the main purpose of that was to see and generate maybe some interest in people coming to work for the Corps of Engineers. So go to usajobs.gov, and if you just Google USA Jobs, you'll find it pretty quickly, and that's where all of our employment opportunities are listed.
And also on your Army Corps of Engineers website, I found a whole lot of information that talks about the benefits of the Army Corps of Engineers, how to apply for a job with the Army Corps of Engineer, the hiring authorities, what you're doing. And I think this is just critically important. So a lot of people don't know, and we've been talking about the job of the Army Corps of Engineers. And just to repeat, your job is restoration after disasters. Your job is maintenance of the waterways. Your job is flood management, water management.
Security.
Security, hydroelectric, construction, military bases. Good heavens, what do you guys not do?
Yeah, we've got our fingers in a lot of pots. And so we're looking for a broad range of experiences and people to help us meet that. Again, we have an expanding program based on, you know, the work in Harvey, the border wall, and other aspects of the president's infrastructure plan that we think are coming out. So we're looking to, you know, increase our capacity to do this work.
Oh, that is exciting. Then so the employment opportunities are so vast. I think it's also, you've got competitive salaries, you've got promotion opportunities, obviously vacation, sick leave, health and life insurance, retirement plans. I mean, you've got a very employee-friendly environment that is also very conducive to veterans, because we're kind of used to what you do.
And I think one of the things that when I talk to young employees with the Corps of Engineers, one of the things that really attracts them is the purpose that we have. So helping people out in disasters, big deal. Building facilities that are important to our national security, whether it's at Army bases or in Air Force bases or along the border or whatever it is, you know, there's a big sense of purpose that I feel like I have in the military, and certainly our transitioning veterans would continue to have that sense of purpose working as a DA civilian.
General, don't you think that's one of the characteristics of veterans, is we have a sense of purpose, we have a sense of the mission that I think is important, and the Army Corps of Engineers offers a civilian opportunity for transitioning military to continue that purpose and mission.
Exactly. Yep.
I got to tell you, you need to go check out the Army Corps of Engineers. Take a look. And again, General, the website that you were talking about?
USAjobs.gov.
Wow. USAjobs.gov.
And we will help you navigate that.
Right.
The big thing is the keywords. That's the big key.
Right.
So if you want those jobs to populate your list of jobs that you can quite possibly apply to, allow us to help you out, and we'll help you put those keywords in there to generate those leads.
So if you're listening on the USA Network or you're listening on the Armed Forces Radio Network, you can go to the Army Corps of Engineers. You can find out about all of these things. You can find out about the website that General has been talking about, and get information so that the transition you have is not only very successful but very smooth. The opportunities are there. and the opportunities to lead are there, and the opportunities to have purpose are there.
Yeah, Ron, thanks for mentioning that key words piece, because that is, and I'm glad your organization is helping people navigate those signs. But you get into the USA jobs, you know, you got to put U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Southwestern Division, put in engineer, put in biologist, put in whatever you think your skills are, and then the right jobs will pop up, hopefully.
General Owen, it's been a blessing to have you on board today on my ship. Thank you so much for being here, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Commander. Ron, thank you for being here.
Thank you, sir.
Next week, we've got an exciting program coming on that I think everybody's really going to be interested in.
We're going
to be talking about employment, and we're going to talk about EQUEST and how they're helping people. So this is Jim Blythe with Ron Abrams and Brigadier General Owens. Thank you. I want to say a thank you, a special thank you to our active duty military, to our veterans for keeping us safe, keeping us secure. God bless you in all you do, and keep yourself safe. This is Jim Blythe and Ron Abrams and General Owen for the Armed Forces Radio Network and the USA Radio Network. Thank you, God bless you, and good day.